Welcome to FinTech Fun. FinTech Fun is a podcast where Australian fintechs come to share their stories.
Hi, it's Chris Titley here. As part of the FinTech Fun podcast series, we're joined by Ian Park, director and co-founder of Paid, as also managing director and CEO of FinPay. Mate, thanks for coming into the Newstead HQ.
Chris, well, I'm happy to be here and congratulations on Sub 11.
Thank you, mate. Thanks. What do you reckon about the studio, mate?
Looks I think it's like fantastic.
A big red desk, and we've also got a guest here, Charlie.
Charlie, welcome.
He's going to have a listen into this. But, mate, last time we caught up, I was working at Morgan's. I caught up with you at Riverside Centre there at Eagle Street, and I think you just raised some money, mate. Tell us a little bit about where you've been and from there, mate.
Yeah, look, so, you know, the iteration of my career started in risk management, verification, you know, serial entrepreneur, started in that kind of space and then moved into prop tech and then into payments. So, you know, I've had a pretty diverse career in technology. But, you know, fast forward to when we last caught up, yeah, certainly raised a bit of capital, you know, really started to push the product and you know, further that advancement and you know, now starting to take some pretty significant strides into commercializing that, you know, not only here in Australia but overseas as well.
And mate, FinPay is a product. Can you talk to the listeners about what it is and how that's evolved over the last couple of years as well?
Yeah, so first iteration, we started as an API payment gateway, right? Vanilla, boring, nothing really, you know, groundbreaking there. But then we started to step into the in-store world and really started to see some pain points that merchants were experiencing. And it quickly kind of evolved into this, you know, fragmented, misunderstood payments environment and ecosystem that, you know, FinPay and you know, our subsequent US brand Paid, and we'll dive into that later, but, you know, are really starting to solve pain points for merchants. So we're the first in-store payments orchestration platform in the world.
Right. Okay. Now, Take a back step on that. What is that?
So payments orchestration. Yeah. Let's remove the fintech jargon.
Yeah.
We're basically a global payments aggregator. We connect over 100 different payment types from all around the world into a single point of contact.
Are there 100 different payment types?
Yeah. There's thousands. Thousands, Chris. And you'd be surprised. Here's a little bit of an interesting kind of fact for you. When do you think the last innovation in payments acceptance was?
Mate, I would not have a clue.
2011.
Which sounds a long time away. Yeah. 10 years ago.
10
plus,
years ago.
Well, 11 years ago. How's my maths going? Yeah. 11 years ago, yep.
But, you know, funnily enough, and that was contactless QR payments.
Right.
Prior to that, there was Square. Prior to that, there was Stripe with their terminal offering. And prior to that, in 1996, there was a register.
Right.
We've had four innovations in that space in the last 20 years. You look at payment methods every 2 weeks, buy now, pay later, crypto,
yep,
QR wallets, new cards, new this, new that. But what we quickly identified is the innovation gap between method and acceptance is just growing stronger and stronger because, you know, the infrastructure and those type of providers just don't have the capacity to fill it anymore.
Mm.
They're still based around a physical piece of hardware. But for us, we've moved all of that infrastructure to the cloud. What that means for business owners is we're faster, we're cheaper, we're more efficient, and we can deploy in an instant.
So let's give an example. Being at Riverside Centre, last time I caught up, I know that coffee shop has changed hands now into a new name and a new funky little offering.
Cool.
But let's use them as an example. Mm-hmm. I am going up to pay for my flat white, which is probably these days $4.50 with inflation. I don't even know, right? But it's just gone up and up and up. And I use my little Apple Pay and I tap using my UpBank, for instance.
Yep.
And they have a Tyro terminal. I mean, where does this kind of fit in? Where do you fit in? How does it work?
Yeah, so effectively we wipe the Tyro terminal off the table and we use mobile phones.
Right.
That's the value add that we provide. You know, there's no more leasing fees. There's no more downtime. You know, remember Tyro had their big outage in the middle of the pandemic.
Other banks have had theirs.
Exactly. Outages. Yeah. It's a reoccurring problem that doesn't seem to get solved, right? It just seems to get brushed over and you know, we move forward. I think that's wrong as a tech founder. I'm like, cool. If there's been something that's had a systematic failure, why is it not being replaced or innovated on top of? And that's what we've done.
Right. Okay. So then there's a hardware terminal that you have?
No, all cloud. So we just basically derive it on mobile phones.
Yep.
That's it.
Right.
You don't need a terminal anymore.
No terminals.
No terminals.
Zero terminals.
Zero hardware on your countertop.
Right.
But what that means is you can now provide more mobility in your business. So if you look at a restaurant traditionally, let's look, I'm trying to think of Hellenica, prime example, just down the road.
Nice little Greek restaurant here in Brisbane, by the way.
Gorgeous.
By the pool.
By the pool, just off James Street, iconic James Street in Brisbane.
You'd be getting in a booth there, mate, just to buy the pool there. It's pretty hard to get a booth.
Mate, I've got small kids now. Those days are long gone. I need even nappies and pseudo cream. That's my life. But, you know, traditionally they've had 2 to 3 terminals rolling around the entire restaurant, right?
Yes. But now you pay for the bill, right?
You pay for the bill, exactly. But for us, we can now turn every single one of those staff members or waitresses or waiters' phones into a payment terminal, allowing for faster turnover of a table, quicker payments. You know, it all adds up to Hellenica's side because what's their thing?
Yep.
Quicker turnover on tables.
Yep. And also customer service when it comes to the bill. I mean, one of the pet hates is like, oh, can I get the bill? Oh, okay, I'll be back. You wait. They're like, sorry, I'm just waiting on the other terminal. The terminal's over there, blah, blah, blah. You know, so
it's broken. Oh, it's got no paper.
It'll come up and you don't know whether there's that awkward sort of grey area where you're like, should I go up to them or should I not? And you feel bad because they're busy and everyone's busy and it's like, oh, right, okay. So in your instance, mobile Bang. Phone, walk Full. Around, hello, tap, gone, see you later, bye.
Pay next. At table, pay at POS, thanks so much, see you later next time.
Right, okay, interesting. And in terms of the feedback and on the industries that you're involved in, can you talk about that?
Yeah, so our go-to-market strategy is pretty exciting. So obviously we look to service that SME to mid-market kind of opportunity. And I guess if you look at the core verticals that we touch, food and hospitality and beverage, fashion, beauty, footwear, retail, you know, those types of opportunities. Yep. Sports stadiums, exhibitions and events.
Yeah, people moving around. That's got, as you mentioned before, like large scale.
Big ones, right? Queue busting. I think there's a very interesting.
What's that? Point. I don't even know what that is.
Queue busting. So, you know, like let's go Zara in the city.
Oh, yes.
Big sale. You know, they put 30% off and, you know, everybody piles in there to try and get things. What we can do is we can enable mobility. So you can now have staff members taking payments for people standing in line to get them out of the store. So they're not standing there kind of waiting. Because they run the risk of people going, oh, this wait's too long. I'm just going to come back later.
Yep.
And what's the conversion on them actually coming back later? Pretty
sports stadiums would be a big one too, I suppose, when you've got different people moving around, something programs or whatever it might be.
Hot dogs, food and beverage, right? You go buy a beer, whatever. Yep. That's all there, all mobility. The next step for us is non-for-profit and donation and gift giving.
Exciting.
Yeah. So you remember, you know, you're probably going back to the Salvation Army, right? Remember they used to stand outside with their little red and white bucket at Christmas time?
Yep.
I'm trying to think of the last time I ever had cash on myself, let alone my wallet.
Mm.
But, you know, I'm happy to provide and donate to charities at that time of the year to help them out. But how do I do it? You know, they're not standing there with a big terminal.
Yep.
You know, so enabling those guys is a big cornerstone for FinPay and Paid. So, you know, working on that kind of premise is all about support and I guess extension and understanding of, you know, a cashless society and bringing those underserved kind of opportunities into the market.
Right. And in terms of the payment methods, you mentioned hundreds of it. You just integrate with them all, so there's no weird way that people can, if they want to do Afterpay card or something can happen, if they want to do Diners Express or whatever, Amex, et cetera, all fine.
Yep, all in there. So traditional cards, Visa, MasterCard, Amex, Discover, Diners, JCB, Union, the QR wallets, so GCash, WeChat Pay, Alipay, M-Pesa, you know, all over the world. The Buy Now, Pay Laters, so Klarna, Zip, you know, et cetera, all those guys. Then the crypto side of things, so Binance, Crypto.com, PayChant, you know, so we've also done a bit of extensive work around facilitation of a fiat settlement component for merchants who want to accept those payments, all linked directly into your POS or your cloud accounting software.
Right, so, straight integration.
Yep, no more end of day, you know, no more printing out the receipt and trying to figure out why the till's over $30 and, you know, stressing yourself
Where's
out.
Where's the chocolate milk gone?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we reconcile and auto-reconcile all in real time.
Right, mate. And at the start when I introduced you, there was two businesses. One was FinPay, which I'm looking at now. I just want to get, and Paid, right?
Yep.
Paid. Tell us about Paid.
Yeah, so Paid's our big hairy US cousin. So I guess from the immediate onset, we wanted to take a very different approach and a different brand to market in the States. And you know, Paid, not only from a name representation perspective.
No, it's a good name.
Get Paid, right? We help business owners get paid.
And you know what? It's got a double I though.
It's got a double I, but if you look at the I, the representation is that's a merchant and a consumer having an interaction together.
Oh, mate, you've nailed it, hey? Ask me what 7-Eleven's about.
Oh, I'm here. I'm all ears. Let's roll. Tell me.
It's about the time that I wanted to achieve when I was at high school in a 100-meter race.
I love that.
Sub 11 seconds. I did it once.
I was going to say.
And then I did my hamstring trying to try it again. So,
oh, no.
That's right. I did 11.05, then 11.02, and I was like, I've got to beat this sub 11 seconds. All right.
You got it.
And then, so what, 25 years later, here we go.
Here we go. You've just rekindled it.
And then there's three little sub signs, the purple sub signs in the logo. That's representing the people in the business.
It's really important, the story that a brand tells, right? Yep. A lot of people just kind of go, you know, FinPay, I'll be honest, I bought the logo off Fiverr for $35. Let's be honest, Nike got theirs from a designer for $32, I think is the story. But now that I've got a bit older and I've been in this game, you know, for nearly the better part of a decade, I think the brand and the narrative behind it is incredibly important. It tells a story.
For sure. Yeah. So go back to Paid, right? We digressed on the name.
Yep.
Back to Paid. What's Paid, you know, and why the US?
Yeah, so I think Paid is a brand, and I've got a really great co-founder in that business or that entity. So Mark Dwyer, he's the ex-MD of Afterpay out of Canada. You know, bought Afterpay into that market, scaled them up from zero to 137 million in revenue in 12 months. 17,000 merchants, built a cross-border trade product. He's a wizard, right? Big on the revenue and ops side. I'm big on the product and innovation side. But then you kind of fast forward to why the US. If you look at the US as a market for fintech, it's backwards, right? Australia, we're rather spoiled. We've got high adoption rates. You know, we adopt financial services products very easily. The US, you know, outside of the East Coast, West Coast has a very different view to that. And you know, predominantly 50% are still
derived by checks. There's still a lot of checks. Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
50% of the market.
And when
is still
Venmo driving. Came along, it sort of took the world alight, but then got acquired by PayPal
and kind of just became a PayPal company, right? Yep. But for us, what we're really seeing is, and you know, the data around Visa and MasterCard, or predominantly Visa in that market, is showing that the contactless payment, you know, kind of orchestration play is on the rise. More consumers are getting those cards, but the fleets that are out there in the market aren't capable of taking those payments. So you're going to see a leapfrog happen very significantly, right? We had this kind of, you know, click clack, mag stripe, contactless, and now, you know, the market we're in with wearables and you know, kind of IoT and biometric and you know, seamless commerce.
Yep.
Over there, they're still sitting on the magstripe world. So they'll probably leap that, you know, EMV and contactless play and dive straight into the market that we're operating in.
So the QR payments, just on that topic, like that seemed to be a lot of, in the Asian region, a lot of people just jump straight to QR, sort of missing the actual physical wallet, per se, straight to the phone, straight to QR, away we go.
Yeah.
And it seems to be quite large there, but not so much here in Australia.
Yeah, and it bore the behemoths of like Ant Financial and, you know, WeChat Pay and Alipay, you know. So it accelerated their kind of, I guess, consumer versus business focus pretty significantly. And I guess if you look at other parts of the world, and look, like I said, Australia, we're rather spoiled, right? Like we adopt things very well here. We're, you know, very financially regulated, so we know that the products are stable and they do what they're supposed to do. With that being said, it's just not a very big market. Like we're a great test bed for products and you know, services. And for us, you know, that's what we achieve. We tested it here, it works here, it's validated. Let's go tackle the big dogs in their own backyard.
So you're pretty excited about Paid?
Very excited. Yep. Very excited. And look, you know, very excited about our European operations as well, right? So, you know, we've got Maddox Burhall and the team over there in the Nordics, you know, who are scaling up for a launch in Jan, talking to a number of, you know, big retailers about, you know, our in-store solutions. Because what we're starting to see now post-pandemic is travel. Prior to that, we had a very insular, you know, kind of economy. And, you know, a lot of exciting, you know, fintech brands were launched. But then how do they scale beyond our shores? So for someone like us, as a pure infrastructure provider, we're able to help them.
Yep.
You focus on consumer acquisition, we've got merchants covered. We bring the power and we bring the acceptance. Let's do a deal, let's chat. How do we scale you up and take you offshore?
And when it comes to large-scale events, the US just will times X 20, 30 on Australia in terms of there's a baseball game every night, there's the theatre, there's whatever it might be in terms of large, everything's large and big.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think the college football over there pulls the same crowd that our grand final does, right?
Yeah, yep. And they do the little barbecue beforehand.
Yeah,
and people
tailgating.
Tailgating, yeah. So there's an opportunity there, mate. Yep. You might have to do a little work trip over there, right?
Why not, you know? Oh, like I said, I'll have to run that past my wife with my new son being born in December.
But right.
I'm sure we can sort something out.
Before we go on to the in-park story, let's sit here in 12 months' time and do this again. What would you like to, if you look back at this podcast and you say, okay, well, this is what I want to achieve?
Yeah, so my goal for the next 12 months for the business is I want to hit 100 million in net revenue.
And that's through the terminals, through FinPay.
Yeah, yep. So I want to hit 100 million net rev. We're close to kind of meeting a threshold for a distribution channel of about 1 million merchants by the end of next year. So they're my goals. Net rev to 100.
All right, well, let's see how you go. We'll hold you to it. We'll come back in, what is it, the 6th of October.
6th of October. Done.
2023.
I'm going to put it in my calendar. Yeah.
That's it. Done. Now, you did mention you've got a newborn or reasonably newborn. How's that change your life?
Yeah. Oh, mate, being a dad is, you know, a lot of people say to you, oh, being a dad's such a great thing and it's amazing. And I was like, yeah, whatever. You know, you kind of flip it. And then when little Ollie joined the family, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, it's the gap between no kids and one kid is huge in my view, and obviously incrementally more that you don't have any time and whatnot. Mm. But it's the idea, I suppose, around having someone, a human being that's requires 24/7 care under your watch, basically, which is a huge amount of responsibility. But at the same time, you embrace it.
Yeah, you love it, right? And you kind of like. The newborn phase is very different, but now he's one. So, the character is there. He's
so you reckon cheeky. You might sneak in a Hellenica every now and then, you reckon? Yeah?
Maybe. And we've got another one joining us in December.
Ah,
so,
right.
You know, that's it. I'm done after that. That's enough.
Yeah, I've got three of my own, so they're all growing up a little bit. But so we can indulge a little bit now that the youngest is five. But head down, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
It's peak hour traffic.
Work and family.
And besides work and family, what do you get up to, mate? You look like you're pretty fit, mate. Do you get out and do some sport or some...
Go to the gym when I can, and I'll be the first to throw my hand up and say that's faltered in the last couple of months.
Oh, mate, it would, particularly with a newborn-ish. Yes.
Yeah, newborn-ish. Yep. My wife heavily pregnant. There's requirements that need to be met.
And when you launched in the US, you've been over there?
Mate, I spent significant time in Silicon Valley. I was there for about 3.5 months. SF was a bit of an eye-opener, purely because you... And look, I guess, again, in Australia, we've got a much smaller market, right? Like our ventures market is very tiny. But over there, it's open door, right? You can create your own deal flow very, very easily via a cold email. Meetings happen, things move quickly, due diligence moves a lot faster. I will admit it's slowed down, obviously, with, the markets and what's going on.
Yep.
But, we're kicking off a raise for paid at the moment. We've sent... I'd say about 250 kind of cold outreach and booked about 54 meetings on the back of that and about 7 in due diligence at the moment.
Are you going to do them on Zoom or are you going to get over there?
Most of them have been done by Zoom.
Yep.
Mark's based in Vancouver, so, he's going to spend a bit of time, over the next couple of months, running around and seeing everybody and then, probably into the new year once my wife's recovered and the little one's somewhat settled.
I'll
probably jump on a plane for a couple of weeks. And
mate, it's good to have you in person. There's a few little fintechs floating around in Brisbane, but if you get someone from Sydney or Melbourne that comes into town, where do you take them?
Look,
for a coffee or a
I'm still a fan of the lobby bar at the Carlisle, right?
Yeah,
I think that is a bit of an eclectic kind of cool.
My wife liked the fish tacos there for a bit. Right?
Amazing, they will change your life. Like the food.
I don't get to indulge that too much.
But,
the lobby bar, the colour, it's good, isn't it?
The other little hidden gem? And I live in West End. There's a place on Hardgrave Street called Mama Taco.
Mm.
Little hole in the wall. Know. Go and check it out.
Dead Mama set. Taco.
Mama right? Taco. They've got three tacos on the menu, changes monthly, but they are proper traditional.
Simple and effective. Hey? You got to love that.
Yeah. When I want to take someone for a lunch that I'm like, this is something that you don't see in Brisbane or, a lot of people wouldn't know about. This is the place
I'm wondering
to go.
Whether they've got a LinkedIn handle because I could tag them in, a little plug there, but they might not. It might be just a hole in the wall, but you never know, do you?
I'll put it on my Instagram and share it.
Excellent. Mama Taco. Mama Taco. You might get a free taco on the back of this, hey? So. Cash for comment. Mate, pleasure to have you in here. Thanks so much for telling the FinPay and Paid story. All the best in the next 12 months. We've got it in the calendar booked in.
Done.
October 6, 2023, mate. And yeah, let's catch up soon.
Love it, Chris. Thanks, mate.
For more information on Sub11, jump onto our LinkedIn or email me, chris@sub11.com.au. Thanks for listening.